But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life like a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Well, I guess I made a mistake on which scripture was to be read. And that was an amen, I guess. But the passages that I desired to be read was Mark 9, 43 through 48. What's in the bulletin? Is that what's in the bulletin? Okay. Thank you. I'll let you take credit for that. But it's still the Word of God, isn't it? But in our text, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell's fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The purpose of these passages is Jesus showing us the extreme that we should be willing to go to avoid hell. If you can't keep your eye off of things you have no business looking at, then pluck it out and cast it away from you. If you can't keep your hand from touching things you have no business touching, cut it off and cast it away from you. If you can't keep your feet from taking you to bars or nightclubs, to places no child of God has any business going, then cut your feet off and cast them away from you. It'll be far better than going to hell. Our theme this morning, wouldn't you hate to go to hell? You know, preaching on hell is not one of my favorite subjects, but preaching on hell is part of the whole counsel of God. Paul says in Acts 20, 26, wherefore I call you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all or the whole counsel of God. Preaching about the love of God, yes, sir. Preaching about the mercy of God, yes, sir. Preaching about the goodness of God, yes, sir. Preaching about the gift of God, yes, sir. All that has to do with preaching the whole counsel of God, but also preaching about the horrors of a devil's hell has to do with preaching the whole counsel of God. We need to have this Bible subject put before us, because if I don't make it to heaven, I'll make it to hell. And if I'm not warned about the horrors of devil's hell, then I won't fear hell. And we should fear it. Jesus says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. This fear is not reverence and respect. This fear means you be afraid. Fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Who is that? That's the devil. That's the devil. Wouldn't you hate to go to hell? There are several words that are translated into the English word hell, such as Tartarus, or place of torment. Tartarus is a temporal holding place for the wicked. Now I say temporal because that's what it is. Tartarus was created in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First heaven where the birds fly. Second heaven where the stars and moon and the galaxies are. And then the third heaven is the Hadean realm, divided into two parts, paradise and Tartarus. The ungodly are held in Tartarus till the judgment day. You read that in Peter. The wicked, the ungodly, the angels are held there till judgment. And at the judgment day, Tartarus, the third heaven, the second heaven, and the first heaven shall be destroyed. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. On that day, all the ungodly demons and angels, all the unfaithful and ungodly people that's ever walked upon the face of the earth, they shall be cast into Gehenna. That's the word now used. Gehenna is the place where the worm dieth not. You throw a worm in a burning fire, it will be destroyed. But Gehenna is a place of everlasting destruction, everlasting fire, everlasting pain. There's a difference between Gehenna and Tartarus. Gehenna, the place of eternal fire, is found 12 times in the King James Version of the New Testament. And 11 of the 12 times, Jesus spoke the word. Jesus said more about hell than he said about heaven. Jesus wants us to be warned there is a place called hell, and if you're not faithful, then you will go there. In Matthew 25, we have the judgment scene. The Lord has parted the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. And in verse 41, he says to those on the left, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, Gehenna. Prepare for the devil and his angels." Then you drop down to verse 46. He says, "These, the wicked, shall go away into everlasting punishment." It's spoken of, Gehenna is a place of everlasting fire. Tartarus is temporary. Gehenna is spoken of as a place of everlasting punishment. Tartarus is temporary. It's just a holding place to the judgment. And at the judgment, the wicked, the ungodly, shall be cast into Gehenna. In Gehenna, the smoke of their torment ascendeth upward forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. That's Gehenna. Their torment goes on forever and ever, and there is no rest day and night. "Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna's fire," Matthew 5:22. Matthew 8:12, "In hell," or Gehenna, "there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 5:29. "If thy eye offend thee, cast it from thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it's better to enter into life maimed than to be cast into hell with both eyes." Mark 16:16, Jesus, "He that believeth not shall be damned," where to a devil's hell, or to Gehenna. And John 8:21, "Unless ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Do you think if we preach more about hell, more people would come to church? If it's hell before them again and again and again, and they come to terms, I pray right there when we took the Lord's Supper, "God, help me to have a better understanding what you gave. Help me to have a better understanding how my Jesus suffered." And if we never preach about the cross, we never preach about the suffering, never preach about God, how can we have a better understanding? If we don't preach about hell, how can we have a better understanding just how horrific that place is? Why would I want to turn from the things I'm doing in the world unless I understand this eternal price I'm going to have to pay? Chances are I probably wouldn't. In Matthew 10:28, this is the verse I mentioned earlier. Fear not they that are able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. If that fear existed in the hearts of people in this community, they'd be in church. Even some of my own brethren, they'd be in church. In Matthew 23:33, Jesus says, "Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That is Gehenna. Mark 9:46, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. To go to hell for any reason would be terrible. I can't think of any reason to go to hell that would give me comfort once there. Can you? Oh yeah, I'm in hell, but let me tell you this good reason why I came down here. There's no reason that will give you comfort in hell. But there are some reasons that many will go to hell that will add to their misery once there. Such as, I'm in hell because I didn't have time for God. Oh, I had time to run and play. Had time to go do some fishing or go shopping or go out with some friends to eat. But I didn't have time to go to church. I didn't have time for God. I didn't have time to read my Bible. Why don't you have time to read your Bible? If you was going to travel someplace you'd never been before, you'd familiarize yourself with a map. The Bible is God's map to get us to heaven. We can't get there without the map. And if we could understand that, then more of us would search the Scriptures. I've heard brethren say, maybe you have too, I know I don't read my Bible as I should. Why don't you? What if they said, I know I should abstain. I know I don't abstain from profanity as I should. Or I know I don't abstain from fornication or drunkenness as I should. You would easily see the wrongness in that. Equally so, it's wrong to say I don't study my Bible as I should when I have opportunity to study my Bible as I should. Wouldn't it add to your misery to go to hell because I didn't have time to go to church or time for God? In Luke 14, we read of a certain man that sent out an invitation, inviting others, come, all things are ready. And it reads, they with one consent begin to make excuses. Oh, I bought 5 yokes of oxen. I have need to go improve them. I pray you to have me excused. Another, I purchased some land and I have need to go and see it. I pray you to have me excused. And yet another, I have taken a wife. I've married. I can't come. I pray you to have me excused. Wouldn't that add to your misery? I'm in hell because of some animals. I wanted to go coon hunting. I stayed out till 3 o'clock in the morning. I've done that so many times. And I just ain't got time to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. Or I want to ride my horse on a Sunday instead of going to church. Sunday's my day off. I want to go fish. Wouldn't that add to your misery? I'm in hell because of some animals or a piece of land. I got this lot up on the lake, and Sunday's one of my only days off, and I have the right. I deserve it. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to take it easy. Wouldn't that add to your misery? I'm in hell. Look at me. I'm in hell over a piece of land. Or, I don't go to church as I should because my wife or my husband, they want to nag at me. They don't believe in the Church of Christ. So you yield. And now look at me. I'm in hell because of a nagging wife or a nagging husband. Wouldn't that add to your misery? I ain't got time for God. We'll read this poem. I don't know who the author is. Have time to build houses and in them dwell. Time to do business to buy and to sell. But none for repentance or deep earnest prayer. To seek your salvation, you have no time to spare. Time for earth's pleasure, for frolic and fun, for her glittering treasures, how quickly you run. But care not to seek a mansion above, or the favor of God, or the gift of his love. You have time to take voyages over sea, and time to take in the world's jubilee. You have time to resort to the mountain in glee. Time to gain knowledge from books and from men, yet no time to search for the wisdom of God. But what of your soul when you're under the sod? For time will not linger when helpless you lie. Staring death in the face, you will take time to die. then what of the judgment? Pause. Think. I implore. For time will be lost on eternity's shore. Wouldn't it add to your misery? I'm in hell because I didn't have time. Or maybe God ain't got time for me. It's going to come. When God does not have time for me, if I don't have time for God in the days of flesh, Luke 13:25, when once the master of the house has risen up to shut to the door, and ye yourself thrust thereout, you begin to knock and plead, saying, Lord, open to me. I'm going to do better. And just say, I'm sorry. You didn't have time for me in the days of flesh, and I don't have time for you now. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob enter into the kingdom of heaven and ye yourself thrust thereout. On that day, you won't have time, or God won't have time for you. But what if you thought you had plenty of time? So often I hear, one of these days, I'm going to start coming back to church. One of these days, I'm going to become more active in the church. One of these days, I'll come back and be restored. One of these days, I plan on baptizing, being baptized. One of these days, I'm going to be a more faithful servant. One of these days, and then you die. Now I'm in hell, and I thought I had plenty of time. Wouldn't that add to your misery? You believe the lie that comes straight from the mouth of Satan. Plenty of time. I don't want to go to hell for any reason. There's no reason to go to hell that'd give me comfort once there. But I can think of a reason or reasons that would add to my misery, such as, wouldn't you hate to go to hell because you talk too much? Elvis Presley had a song, You Talk Too Much. Jesus said this, Matthew 12:38-36, you talk too much. No, he says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou art justified, and by thy words thou art condemned. I'm all cozy and I'm warm. I'm walking with Jesus, but I talk too much. I sit around and talk about my brethren, and it doesn't bother me because my brother or my sister is listening and going along with it. But God's listening too. Wouldn't that add to your misery? I'm in hell because I talk too much. I gossiped. I slandered. I evil surmised. And now I'm in hell. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Talk is cheap. Wrong. Hurtful, unauthorized words will cost you your soul. Because I talk too much, now I'm cut off from everything good and holy and right. Wouldn't that add to your misery? It wouldn't mind. This is what Solomon says concerning a talebearer, a gossiper. One carrying tales about another. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Where no talebearer is, strife ceases. I wouldn't go to hell for any reason. There's no reason to go to hell that would give me comfort once there. But there are some reasons to go to hell that would add to my misery, such as I let a hypocrite stand in between me and going to heaven. Often, they make excuses. I doubt if if it wasn't that excuse, they'd probably make another one. But you know, I'm as well off as old Joe Blow down there. He's a hypocrite. Well, that statement is true. If old Joe Blow really is a hypocrite, then that person of the world is just as well off as old Joe Blow. Both are lost, and both, if they don't repent, will go to hell. A hypocrite is a pretender. He pretends to be something on the outside, but inwardly he's something else. When Jesus addressed the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees, he calls them, oh, hypocrites, says it repeatedly in chapter 23 of the book of Matthew. He says, you say and you do not. That's a hypocrite. Someone once said, a hypocrite is like a pin, P-I-N. They're pointed in one direction, but headed in another. Wouldn't that add to your misery? Wouldn't mine. Oh, that preacher, he's a hypocrite. Therefore, I'm just not going to be faithful. I'm no worse off than he is. And if I'm a hypocrite and you won't serve God, then you're right. Neither one of us will go to heaven. You know, I wouldn't be a bit afraid to say that this has something to do with some that are here this morning. I don't want to go to hell for any reason. But to go to hell because I snuck back into the church, that would add to my misery. An apostate member, we think of an apostate member means he just totally left the church. And that's true. But to some degree, regardless of how small of a degree, when I willfully, blatantly choose not to come to church when I could be here, to some degree, you have become an apostate member. And you need to repent. And if you do it continuously, and brethren, the church knows about it, you must do as Paul told Timothy, set a good example to the believers. Take away that hammer that some may use. Why, he stayed, she stayed out of church for weeks or months or years. They didn't go forward. They never asked the forgiveness of a kind and loving God. Oh, how many times? I don't care if it's just one time. If you willfully and blatantly choose not to come to church, and you could, I'm not talking about work, I'm not talking about sickness, I'm not talking about can't see good to drive at night, you know what I mean. Then you need to repent. You need to repent. I've known brethren to stay out for months. Then one day they just show up, sitting on the back of the pew. They never come forward. And as time comes and goes, they move a little closer to the front, and they forget about their sins, and brethren forgets about it. And then they are being used once again in church services. God never forgot about it. There I stand before the judgment bar of God, and he says to Ricky, depart from me, ye cursed. I say, why, God? I came to church. I gave up my means. I partook of the Lord's Supper. I bowed my head and I prayed. And I know. But you snuck back in the church. You never asked for forgiveness. Wouldn't that add to my misery? I'm in hell for no other reason. Not because I wasn't going to church. Not because I wasn't serving God. Just because I didn't come forward and ask the forgiveness of a kind and merciful God. I snuck back into church. I believe I have time to add this true story. I preached this sermon back in 99. We had a man there. I wish I could think of his last name. Can't think of his name now. But anyway, he was my right-hand man. When I had to go off to do this or do that, he would teach the class. Had a TV program. He preached on the TV for me, for us, for the church. And I preached this. And when I gave the invitation, the brother came forward. I was kind of stunned. I said, how can I help you, brother? He said, well, I did exactly what you was preaching about. I snuck back into church. I got upset about this, I got upset about that, and I left the church for a while, and I never repented, never went forward to set the right type of example. And this brother, who would drive like 50, 60 miles round trip up in Dayton, Ohio, just to church and back, he would drive that mileage again on a Saturday and go out door knocking with me, fill the pulpit for me, preach on TV for the church. If he recognized that he did wrong and didn't repent, then I say chances are maybe some here too that need to repent. We must do as Simon Peter told Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer sinned, and Peter didn't say, well, you just, no, don't worry about it. You'll forget about it, and brethren forget about it. No, he was commanded, Repent and pray that the wickedness of your heart be forgiven you. And we've got to do the same thing. And all the rationale, all the human wisdom in the world won't deal with that sin problem. But just a momentary thing of saying, God, I'm sorry. I snuck back into the church. We'll take care of it. I don't want to go to hell for any reason. There's no reason to go to hell to give me comfort once there, but there are some reasons to go to hell that would add to my misery, such as you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. It's not that you didn't have opportunities to listen. It's not that the preacher did not ask you, or your wife or your husband did not ask you, or your son or daughter or mom or dad did not ask you to listen. It's not that your Christian friends did not ask you to listen. They did. But you clogged up your ears and you would not hear. You were sold on this religious theology that's error, and you would not let the truth get in. You would not hear. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest by any means, when they hear with their ears and see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. I pray that you don't think this sermon is ugly or it's just too hard. I love you. And I'm not doing anybody any good if I don't do everything in my power to get you right. If you're not right. So, Jesus looked out upon the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He speaks to the many opportunities that they had to get right. And he compares these cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida to the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon that did not have the opportunities. It's kind of like America and communist China. If Jesus was here today, he'd say the same things that he said to Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says, woe or curse unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Chorazin, for if the mighty works was done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Then he doubles down on that. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable, if the judgment be more tolerable in hell for Tyre and Sidon than it will be for you, America. Wouldn't that add to my misery? I grew up in America, Bibles on every hand, churches on every corner, but I wouldn't listen. Now look at me. And lastly, I don't want to go to hell for any reason, but to go to hell because I was afraid. Wouldn't that add to my misery? I was afraid. I stand before God and he says, depart from me. And I say, why, God? Why? I came to church. I gave of my means. I know. But you was afraid. Look at the very first one in Revelation 21:8. He doesn't mention the whoremongers or the sorcerers or idolaters or liars first. The very first ones he mentions is the fearful, those who are afraid. But the fearful and the abominable and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God, I came to church, but you was afraid. I gave up my means, but you was afraid. You was afraid to stand for truth. You was afraid to defend the church of Jesus Christ. You was afraid to preach and teach your friends and neighbor and family member the necessity of water baptism. You was afraid. Wouldn't that add to my misery? I'm in hell because I wanted to avoid controversy. I do want to avoid controversy, but I can never be afraid of defending the church, defending the truth. So wouldn't you hate to go to hell because you didn't have time for God, because you talked too much, or you wouldn't listen, or you let a hypocrite stand in between you and heaven, or you was afraid, or because you snuck back into the church? Don't be afraid. We're going to stand and sing a song. Don't let Satan win and pull you down in that seat without getting right with God any longer. You'll feel better. You always feel right when you do right. I want you to come. I'm going to stand down here. Please, get right.
be baptized for remission of sins. You've never done that. But if you stuck back in the church, you was afraid, and you need the prayers of the church, come up here. Please come while together we stand and sing.